All right, guys, what's up? Welcome to episode 323 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JC, and with us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
Scary for a second, because I also saw his mic icon go to no mic, and I was like, oh, why did he do that right before I introduced him? I was like, what is happening?
I know. I was about to take a bite of food, yeah. And like my brain was like, mute the microphone, bite of food. But then I'm like, wait, we're literally just starting the podcast. Probably not the best time.
Yeah, probably not the best time. and so here we are. So it's the week. It's the weekend after E3, and instead of just running down, because unfortunately I got the kid here today. Usually I don't. Usually he's with his grandparents or doing what else. Mm-hmm. So we can't go on, and I don't want to go on for like 2.5 hours recapping everything that was at E3. So I figured instead for this episode, we'll kind of just each go over some of our favorite moments from E3 as a whole, you know, whatever it may be, while also covering some of the big things. I think the biggest things were there weren't necessarily a ton of new announcements, but there were, like, there was a couple things, but not necessarily huge, but there were a lot of release dates. So we can go over those as well. So we go ahead and start with some of the big release dates. So we got release dates for, so they did, Watch Dogs Legion, of course, leaked the week before, but that got shown, so we can talk about that. But that got a release date of March 6, 2020, which I think is a great window for the game, so it doesn't get smacked in the middle of Q4, which, like, every other game is like, oh, Q4.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we saw that Final Fantasy VII, the first bit's coming out on March 3rd as well. And then we also got the release date for Cyberpunk 2077, which is April 16th. So that's nice. And then we also got, I was hoping someone would have just a nice, good list, but unfortunately, they're not quite succinct as I'd like it to be. Doom Eternal is going to come out on November 22nd, so that'll be a nice November game. A lot of November games. The Outer Worlds got a release date of they don't even list. They just hyperlink it to their release date article. But I want to say this is October. Come on, give it to me.
Outer Worlds is October 25th.
Yeah, there we go. 2020. Yeah, I had an email where I sent it to myself. We know that Dying Light is going to be. The release window for Dying Light 2 is Q2 of 2020, so that's nice. What else we got? Youngblood. Wolfenstein Youngblood comes out in July, so that's super soon. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, because I was like, man, when's Wolfenstein coming out? It's like, yep, it's like July. It's like, I think it's middle of July.
Coming out in like 3 weeks. It'll be fine.
It's so quick, but... yeah, of course, we know that Shadowbringers is out on July 2nd for Final Fantasy XIV. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of other stuff. I don't think any other big release dates I can think of off the top of my head. I'm trying to go through this list, but again, this list is not very succinct. So it's like kind of all over the place to make me click on other stuff. But yeah, we'll kind of skip over all the, unless one of the small things that they showed is one of your top faves. We'll kind of jump all around. So we had big showings from all the places, except for EA. EA did kind of tiny this year. It was just like EA Play. They showed a little bit of Star Wars, their new game, and then they also talked about updates for some other games within the EA catalog. So there wasn't initially a lot of stuff out there. No new IPs announced. So we thought there'd be like some more indie stuff, because I figured they usually do their EA, what do they call that? Their indie program. EA Originals, there we go. Because it's UB Arts and EA Originals are the indie publishing stuff. But Square Enix had a lot of stuff. Ubisoft had a good amount of stuff. Microsoft as well, although a lot of Microsoft stuff was also third party as well. It wasn't necessarily exclusive to them. There were a few things. But yeah, just a really big show. Nintendo had a lot of stuff as well. A lot of stuff. So we'll just kind of go through and just kind of give our favorite parts. We'll kind of switch it up again. So we'll start with I know Zaya has a list of everything, like, kind of stood up for you. So what were some of your favorite things from E3 this year?
My only favorite thing is probably Animal Crossing.
The one and only.
I finally got a release date. They had a trailer. They even had, like, they showed it on the treehouse, like, gameplay and more in depth and stuff like that. I sobbed for about 2 hours. That was a very, very happy time. And then what was that other thing? was really excited about. Oh, remake of Panzer Dragoon. That's fucking rad.
Yeah, that was interesting. I saw that and I was like, huh. Because then they also, there was a couple of their like remakes, remastered for some other games I saw as well. I have to go through this. I'm looking at a list. I'm trying to see where they were, but this list, again, isn't really organized that well.
Well, that's right. I have a list, but it's organized by release date, so it's kind of all over.
Yeah, it was the Trials of Mana, Mana Collection coming to Switch, the Last Remnant remaster coming to Switch. Like, a lot of remasters coming out was really interesting. Crystal Chronicles.
Oh, I was so excited for that, too.
That was
interesting. I love Crystal Chronicles. I just didn't have any friends to play it with. So now I can play it with friends because I don't have to be in the same room.
That was the one that needed, you could use the GBA with the GameCube, right? To, like, the map on your GBA.
Yeah, you could like connect it. You could technically have like 8 people playing because you could have 4 players on the game and then 4 people like managing the maps and stuff like that. I did not have 7 friends to do that with, so. But other than that, I don't know. I'm looking through my list. All I can think about is Animal Crossing. It's going to be a long wait. Hollow Knight Silksong. They showed that, but there was no like release date or anything like that. Speaking of the Last Remnant remake, apparently that's only $20. So go buy that.
Yeah, it came out on PS4, right?
It came out on PS4 last year, I think.
Yeah,
and I switched now.
I was looking at it, I was thinking of picking it up, but I think like it was kind of, I don't remember the review, but I think it was kind of at that range where it's like it's good. But not like amazing. So I was like, I think there was like a lull at the time, but I was like, nah, I'll wait, maybe. But
and it's an RPG, so you're gonna like have to sink time into it. But yeah, I didn't know it was like $20. So
yeah,
that's it.
What about FF8?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of screaming when I saw that because it was so. They had to come out with something for it. I thought they were just gonna re-release it because they released 6, 7, and 9. Right?
Yeah. No, they did. Well, they
7,
did
7, 9, 10, and then, 2 or whatever.
Yeah, and then and 12.
Yeah, and it's like, well, why did you skip one? So they know, we knew you had to be something that, but that actually doing like a remaster, that's fucking cool. And I cannot wait.
Yeah, I think didn't they say during the movie, like the reason they didn't for so long is because they lost the source code for it or something or not, like the originals?
Yup. I mean, how many of the original Final Fantasies do they think they actually have the source code for?
But also, like, you couldn't just take a physical copy and pull it off that? Or do you need, like...
That's probably what they did. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Well, the master code is way different than the physical copies still, like...
Yeah, but if they don't have the source code...
Yeah, you should be able to pull off, you know, a lot of the information. I know it's not the same as, like, usually, like, the PC games, you can pull off a lot because people can dig through files on the PCs because there's usually more there. But I feel like you could... You know, if you didn't have the original master, you could at least rip it from any original copy and just kind of patch up, you know, like the DNA from dinosaurs and using frog DNA like Jurassic Park. Come on, it's that simple.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
Just fill in the gap of Unity.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot of remasters I saw this year, especially, it was kind of interesting. I was like, oh, well. But, you know, everybody likes those games. What about you, Z? What was some of your favorite stuff from E3?
Well, to start with the one that I feel like Zaya missed, the Elden Ring.
They didn't show
Yeah, they didn't really show a lot.
It's like the Sekiro teaser that they show. They're just like, hey, we have a game coming. It's like, okay, thank you, more please, out now.
I'm still excited about it.
Well, yeah, I am too.
Elden Ring was a good one that we knew was coming. I liked a lot of the start of Microsoft's conference because the start of their conference was all like the start of their conference was basically all of the third party titles I was really looking forward to. So the Outer Worlds looks phenomenal. I can't wait to play that.
Mm-hmm.
I loved New Vegas. I think that was the best new Fallout game. And I love the kind of corporation satire approach. Which I know Vegas and Fallout does in general, that it's like a satire of the apocalypse things, but the kind of fantasy sci-fi that's reminiscent of like Borderlands, things like that, just looks hilarious. So I'm really excited about the Outer Worlds. Blair Witch actually looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that was one where like no one knew what was going on. Like, is this Alan Wake? What's happening?
So my thought process going through that was like, well, I doubt they're bringing back Alan Wake, and it's only really featuring the flashlight, but maybe. And then like halfway through the trailer, it starts looking like Silent Hill with like it's switching worlds, and mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, there's no way this is Silent Hill after mm-hmm. all of the bullshit with Kojima, Konami, PT, and the Silent Hill for PS4. I'm like, there's no way it's Silent Hill. Like, that's just not happening. But holy fuck, it looks like it might be a Silent Hill game. So I knew it wasn't Silent Hill, but it certainly looked like it was heavily inspired by it. And then the reveal being Blair Witch kind of came out of nowhere. It looks cool. I'm interested to see where that game goes. The like looping of the trailer where it like starts or ends where it starts, I'm curious how that's going to play into the actual game, or if that was just like a special trailer effect.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like a fun horror game.
Yeah. As soon as they showed the person staying in the corner, I was like, oh, it's got to be Blair Witch. But that was like right in the end. I was like, that's so weird. It's a weird IP to suddenly do, though.
Well, that's why I'm interested in it, though, is it's a very strange it's a strange IP. And the movie itself doesn't really have that much lore. Like, the Blair Witch movie is not really what I would consider a movie made for turning into a video game. So choosing it as an IP has me intrigued because it's something that's kind of new. I love horror games, and I really like a few little horror cliche tropes they showed of the different world, the looping with the time, the kind of playing with the perspective of whether it's a recording or you're playing through something or living it out yourself. It had a lot of good little cliche tropes, and the gameplay also looked... I know that it's a vertical slice. I understand that that's what E3 trailers are, but it still at least looked a bit polished, more so than some other horror games I've seen.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me a lot of the most recent Slender. It felt like it looked visually like it reminded me a lot of that, because that looked very it's very similar, at least with what you're doing in that game. And that game is taking off. Like, everybody loves the Slender games, and you know they always make their reaction videos to it and the Let's Plays. So I can see people totally doing that for Blair Witch if it's got that similar kind of vibe.
I was psyched about Cyberpunk, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
When Keanu Reeves came on stage, I was just dying of laughter. It wasn't even an excitement thing. I was just laughing so fucking hard when they brought him out.
Man, I was watching reaction videos that, because like it was just a fun, you know, like reaction videos were up immediately, like compilations, and it was just fun to watch. But I knew, it's like it reminds me of when Tropic Thunder came out, and there was people in the theater when I saw it who didn't know that was Tom Cruise until the credits. And I was like, how did you not know that was Tom Cruise? And the same happened. So I was watching everybody on the reaction videos when he says, you know, wake the fuck up, samurai. Like, you know, we have a city to burn. And talking, I'm like, that's Keanu Reeves. Like, I had recognized his voice immediately. Mm-hmm. The surprise to me was that it was actually his character model.
The big surprise for me wasn't that it was his voice. It was that they used his character model, and that his character model looks exactly like he does now. Like, that was the shock for me. Not him being a voice actor, because we get tons of famous voice actors all the time. Like, that's not that big of a shock anymore. A lot of movie actors are doing voice acting now. It was the character model thing, because usually they're not playing basically themselves.
Right. But it was just interesting that there's only one person in one of the reaction videos where he... Like, I could tell visually that he knew it was Keanu Reeves when the voice came on before seeing that it was Keanu Reeves, versus everybody else where no one else knew it until they saw him. It's like that situation where you watch, like, something animated or someone's talking off screen, or you're not watching whatever the show is, and you hear a voice, and you're like, God, that sounds so familiar. It's like, it was like watching that where no one recognized it right away. I was like, it was weird because I knew it immediately. But, yeah, it's really cool. And they a lot of the podcasts are talking about the gameplay demo that they showed for it, where it was like slightly different than the one they saw last time, but it's getting a lot of game of the show awards as well from everybody,
which I'm not surprised by. It looks pretty sweet.
Yep. And he's supposed to have like the second most lines in the entire game,
and he's not real, so when he inevitably dies because it's a cyberpunk game, it will only sting a little bit as opposed to a lot of it.
Well, they talked about it on a podcast and how he's the AI version of himself from the start. So it's, I think you're trying to help, at least Keanu had a interview where he was talking about, like, he doesn't go into too much, but he's like, he's with the player and helping out, hoping that he could help him. So maybe you're trying to figure out, you know, what happened to him, or, you know, maybe he's kidnapped and this is a backup, like, who knows, or like, I don't know if you saw the new season of Black Mirror, but there's like a moment when he was talking about Johnny Silverhand, it was reminding me a lot of the Miley Cyrus episode of Black Mirror. But yeah, that's really cool. I'm definitely looking forward to that. So and it's coming out soon too, which is crazy. A lot of these games I thought would be a while, like Death Stranding and Cyberpunk. It's like, oh yeah, coming out fairly soon. It's good
and
news.
Then, I'm trying to remember what came after Cyberpunk. Wasteland 3 was kind of cool. Wasteland 2 was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, so that was a no-brainer. Oh, the other big shock of the show for me was Ghostwire Tokyo, which actually looks pretty sweet.
That trailer was so cool.
Yeah, that definitely looks interesting.
When it started off, I thought it was like some just typical war Tom Clancy game, but then it actually looks really cool. And then I know that the presenter is now internet famous with all the memes, but there's actually like a really good team working on the game. She's worked on a ton of shit, and most of the other team has as well, and they've mostly been like AAA successful games. So it actually has a solid team behind it, in addition to just looking badass.
Right. Yeah, definitely. That's definitely a new announcement that looks exciting. We'll be curious to see when that when we actually see more from that, considering it was just the cinematic trailer. But maybe we'll show more at TGS.
Those are kind of my E3 takeaways. Square Enix had a lot of cool RPGs, obviously, that I want to pick up and play, but most of them were either already known about or are older RPGs that are being remastered, which is still cool. It's just not as much of like a surprise factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very fun and very awesome, though. And then the thing I kind of missed this year was like the indie showcases kind of sucked. Not the indie games themselves, the actual showcases of trying to like give them attention kind of suck.
Like the Devolver Digital or just indies at Microsoft?
So you commented on it when we were watching it, but that fucking like the indie reel that Microsoft showed,
mm-hmm.
there's such shortcuts that it's like, oh, hey, that looks, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard there was like, go ahead.
Before I could even identify the title on some of them, which was in the bottom corner, before I could even like identify the title, some of the indie games were gone. And it was just, it's such a like poor way to show it. If you really want to showcase indies, just give them a tiny bit more time. Don't give them like literally 2 seconds and then go through like 30 of them back to back and be like, well, that was our minute of indie games. We covered 30 games right there.
Yeah, because didn't Microsoft say they have like, we got like 62 games or something like that?
They did, like, yeah. And that was probably about 58 of them.
Yeah, like I'm looking at a list from Microsoft, kind of like the highlights, and it's only 15 games. And like that indie reel was like a bunch of them just back to back to back. And I felt, or I didn't feel it because I didn't watch it, but I heard similarly that the Kinda Funny Games showcase this year was like that because they had a lot of games, but it was the same thing, or it was just super quick and not enough time to spend on each one to really kind of highlight the games. Because I remember watching theirs that they did last year since PSX wasn't out, and they spent a good amount of time on each of the games. Granted, it was the first one, so they probably didn't have as many games as they did this year, which is a benefit because now you can spend more time talking about them. But yeah, that's definitely something like you need to find, because I always think back when PlayStation did it, when they were heavily pushing indies showcases on PS4 during those first couple of years, and it wasn't like a billion games, but they had that one show where they had like, it was like six indie games. They had them all up on stage, each, and they showed like each one's like, it's great to have the indies, but just like you got to spend some more time on them, at least let right. them let them breathe on the stage.
So I wrote down basically all of the indie games that I could, and I when I watched that reel, I basically jotted down the indie games. And then I keep meaning to just go back and like actually look them up now so I can see what they were, because some of them, like the art or the, you know, 2 seconds of gameplay they showed looked interesting, but that's not enough time to figure anything out. But it was that was my kind of letdown of the conference, and Sony not being, obviously.
Yeah. I know it's not PlayStation related, but the one trailer that I thought was weird, just the way it ended, was the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel trailer. It's like, I watched the trailer, I'm like, okay, this trailer, if I played the game and I, you know, like Zelda, like it made, and I heard people talk about on a podcast how it's like, oh, they're looking at speculating what this trailer means. And I'm like, okay, so there's a lot of info there. But the way they end it, it's just like, a sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is currently in development. Like, it was so weird. Like, it'd be like if it, you know, when they showed the first trailer for Last of Us 2 and it just like, The Last of Us sequel in development. And then, you know, to the Gustavo music, it's like, that'd be so weird.
Yeah, and like, how long have we known just... about Last of Us 2?
Yeah, it's like, what? It's like, it was just, instead of just calling, you know, Breath of the Wild, or do the Uncharted thing where they just said, the very first trailer for Uncharted, it just said Uncharted. And because they didn't have a subtitle or they didn't know if they want a number at the time. So just, you call it like, you know, Zelda or Legend of Zelda, just, you know, do something. But it was just, it was, the wording was so weird, because it just seemed like something that they would say like at a Nintendo Direct, like, oh, by the way, a game, like, not show anything, just be like, we're working on a sequel for Breath of the Wild, like, woo, everybody cheers. But it was just, it was really weird, like, you're showing video, just maybe give it a tag, it just a name, just called it 2, or I don't know. It was just, it was really odd.
They haven't made it that far yet.
Yeah.
Part of the speculation I've seen is that the title is going to be a spoiler.
Yeah, which is fine. Because, I mean, if you think of, like, the... There's a... Like I said, because going back to Uncharted subtitles, like, they didn't do that. They just said Uncharted. You could just be like... Just say, like, Zelda or something. I, you know, they won't go that simple with it. But it's, I feel like you could just do something, not just be like, tag on the whole, is a sequel is currently in development. Like, what?
Yeah, so I've seen theories that the title is a spoiler, which is dumb, because if it's the title anyways, it's going to get spoiled eventually, so you might as well do it now.
Yeah.
But it could just be like another announcement, like the theory I saw, which is disproven, but it's kind of like that type of theory makes sense, is that if they were to call it like something with Majora in the title, people would instantly be like, oh my god, it's related to Majora's Mask, which would be a cool surprise at some point if they needed like a good announcement.
Right.
So I saw that theory, and it's not Majora's Mask, but as an example, like that would be the type of thing that in a title might be an interesting announcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some of my favorite stuff I saw was I like a lot of things I liked were just smaller things as well. Like the EA, I like seeing the new legend for Apex, Watson. She looks really cool. Interesting abilities. And then the next stuff they're doing for Battlefield 5 looks really cool. They're bringing the Pacific Theater in, a lot of map updates. That looks really nice. I liked everything I saw from Watch Dogs Legion. Recruiting NPCs reminds me a lot of Peace Walker and Metal Gear 5. That looks really cool. And then because it also introduces that permadeath idea, where it's like, oh, I got this for, like, I really like playing as this character, and then all of a sudden they die, it's like, now they're gone. It's like, fuck. So
I hate it. That's why I can't play Fire Emblem.
I'm curious how much progression you'll be able to put into each of the characters, like, if it's, because I was like, that it's interesting that they're not doing like the catch-all hero, like, oh, Aiden Pierce, he can fight, he can shoot, he can hack, he can sneak. But now it's like, okay, this person's really good at hacking, or this person's really good at, you know, just combat, you know, they're ex-special forces. Like, I like that idea. It's very like, okay, how do I, it's kind of reminds me a lot of, again, Peace Walker and Metal Gear 5, where it's like, unless you were playing as Big Boss, it, all the other soldiers you could play as in those games is like, okay, this guy's really good with, you know, X, Y, and Z. you know, explosives or guns, whatever, like they had specific stats to them. So that's really cool. And I like, it just looked really good. And I'm definitely looking forward to playing that. And of course I loved how they showed so much gameplay for FF7 Remake. And then listening to all the podcasts, for all the people that played it and saying how, cause I had that thing when we watched it, where it's like when they showed the boss fight and I'm like, man, this thing is like 20 hours. People that actually played the boss fight said it doesn't feel as long as you are when you're watching it, because there's so much mechanics when you're playing it, you're focused. And I feel like that's true, especially for like any game with stealth, where mm-hmm. it's like when you play it, like, man, when I play Alien Isolation, dude, I'll hide in that locker for like 2 minutes just because I'm like, I gotta wait for the right moment. But if I was to watch right. someone play that game, I'd be like, nah, this is fucking boring. That's like usually when I watch people play Bloodborne, I just skip the grind parts. It's like I just kind of go to the bosses or the big, oh, when they meet this enemy for the first time, I kind of skip because like it was fun playing it. I don't necessarily want to watch it for the millionth time. But yeah, everybody, it's fun hearing everybody that was like, they had their concerns, but then when they play it, like, they love the combat. I'm like, good, because the combat looks great and I can't wait to play that game. And then also Deathloop at the Bethesda conference looked really interesting. It wasn't gameplay, it was more like a concept trailer, but just this idea that there's like these two assassins on this like prison planet and they keep killing each other, but I guess you can play as each of them. And so it's curious, like, I'm wondering if it'd be like you play as, I forget the character's name, so you play as like the one character, the male character, and then you try and you kill, let's say you kill the other one, and then time resets and now you play as the other character, but now it's repeating whatever you did as the male character, and so now because you have that knowledge, you have to try to counter them and then take them out. If it does something like that, like your, that, what was that one game? There's a game that came out recently. I think it was called Echo. Or like that was the mechanic was there was these echoes of you.
Oh, the 2D platformer game?
No, it was a 3D. It was a game where like you run around and whatever you do, the echoes of you did as well. So that was the puzzle mechanic, is you would try to do certain things in the game because your shadows would do the exact same thing that you did, and that was like how you solve puzzles. So I'm wondering if like that's how it'll be. I mean, it could be totally different, but interesting idea. And I like the content update they're doing for Fallout 76 for the next roadmap, where it's now NPCs are going to show up, because essentially story-wise, you've in the main game, you took care of the big problem that was the main storyline of the game. So now everybody's coming back to West Virginia. That's pretty interesting. So it'll definitely bring me back. What else did I see that I thought was really cool? I like, man, that game 12 Minutes. It's Xbox One and PC only, I believe, but that looked really interesting. That's the one with the top down in the room and the guy's trying to tell, you know, his significant other, whatever, like, hey, you know, you killed your dad, it's okay. But then like it keeps playing out totally different.
Like you're in a loop, but you keep fucking with time, so the result is different every time.
Yeah, like that. I'm curious how in-depth that'll be. That looked really interesting.
It reminded me of, what was that office game? I'm blanking on it now. The office game where a god entity told you what to do and narrated for you.
Oh, Stanley Parable?
Yeah. So it kind of reminded me of that in a little sense of, like, a mundane task or like a significant or kind of insignificant event in the Stanley Parable, where you're just trying to escape an office and the setting is just the office. And then in this, obviously it's talking about like murder or something, but the task really just being an apartment puzzle seemed very interesting.
Yeah. I'm curious how many variations there'll be to what you can do and outcomes and stuff like that, but
it'll have to have a lot of branching paths to be like a full game, I feel.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. It'll be definitely interesting. And then I think that was basically it for everything that kind of stood out to me. Again, I liked what I saw from Dying Light 2, but I'm just waiting to like just release Dying Light 2. The confirmation of Elden Ring, that again, the Tone trailer we're talking about, didn't really do much, but I'm excited for that. But yes, aside from that, there wasn't a ton else that kind of like, you know, got me super excited. There is something That's what it was. I didn't realize that Clint Hawking came back, and he's the one who's doing Watch Dogs Legion. Clint Hawking, of course, did Far Cry 2 and a couple other things, but Far Cry 2 is like the main one. And I liked everything he's worked on. So that's really interesting. And I was like, I missed it because I tuned into Ubisoft like when they were doing the gameplay. So I had to tune out right afterwards. So I didn't see that he was working on that. But yeah, the Jedi Fallen Order looks good. I like they showed like a basically just straight segment of it. Of gameplay. And then they also showed the Marvel game at Square Enix, which was, I guess, pre-alpha. I always thought that when stuff was actually running to put together, that was considered your alpha because you put all the pieces. But maybe if they only put all the parts of those segments, that's why it'd be pre-alpha. But that looks interesting. And they have confirmed that you can do basically everything single player, but there's some co-op aspects to it as well. They did say that there was a... People wanted them to... were not happy about the designs of the characters. But they did say that while they hear everybody's concerns, they're not going to change the designs. But then they, which is good. But then they also said the game's also still in pre-alpha. So by the time the game is done and polished and they do whatever tweaks they're going to make, the characters might look, you know, will look different. Because obviously a pre-alpha character is going to look, like if you look at the pre-alpha footage of like God of War versus when it's done. So it's like, my concern now though is that if they do look better or are tweaked, you know, in any way, that the message would be, oh, they did it because the fans. I'm like, but that
I think that there were two different kind of messages there that got like mushed together. And it was one, we're not going to make them look like the Marvel Cinematic Universe characters.
Yeah.
Right. I think that was the like design direction of this is what we're not doing. But I think the two part, which was like, the animations and models still look a bit clunky, we will be making those look better. So right. I don't think it was like, we're not, when they said like, they're going to get polished and changed more, I don't think they meant like, yeah, we're going to change them and listen to you. I think it was more, no, we're doing the same direction, just making it better.
Well, some people do call them like, they look like cosplay versions of Marvel's Avengers. Or like some people didn't like Captain America's like, it looks like he's wearing like full riot gear. Stuff like that.
His armor was a little bit.
Yeah, or like some people had problem with said Thor looks like he has a boombox on his outfit or something like that. I forget what it was, but it's like, again, it's just not finished being polished and yada yada. But it was weird that out of like, that's the one that everybody played because I guess the game's in pre-alpha. Like, out of all the games that people were kind of excited for and kind of tempered expectations on. It was crazy to hear, like, oh, they were tempered FF7, and they were super excited about Final Fantasy VII Remake. And then they were excited about Marvel, but then when they played it, they're like, yeah, they're just kind of lukewarm now. So it was kind of weird to see the anticipation kind of shift. But obviously, that's pre-alpha gameplay in the games. They didn't really show, according to what everybody got to play, it wasn't, like, a ton of stuff yet. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Other than that, there's a lot of other stuff at the show, but nothing really that kind of stood out to me. Again, it was a lot of those release dates that I was happy to see. Again, just packing up that Q4 and Q1 and Q2. So, but it's gonna be a good time. But yeah, I'm trying to see if there was anything else that we could talk about. That wasn't just our favorite things. I'm trying to see here. Look at this list. That game, Gods and Monsters, is interesting.
That looks really cool.
Yeah, it was funny because they said they've been working on it for quite some time, and then but then Breath of the Wild, of course, came out, and they're like, no, like,
oh, the Greek one.
Yeah,
yeah,
from Ubisoft. Yeah, they said,
I mean, I'd play a Greek Breath of the Wild.
Oh, I'd totally play it. I mean, we've had this in the past though that like similar games that are worked on at similar times end up looking like each other, and people think that they're ripoffs. It's happened a ton in the past. That doesn't mean it's a bad game or that they actually ripped it off. It's just
right
awkward timing for them.
Yeah, but it's you still have the audience is like, oh, they're just following in their footsteps or their influence. Like, game develops not good. Because you see that in movies, too. Like, it's just like, oh, we're doing this movie. It's like, yeah, it's a lot of it's just like this other movie that came out, but it's been in development. Or maybe it was, I forget what they call those, the black films or something, whatever they call them, where it's like the movies that like sit on the shelf that don't get distributed but then eventually get picked up. I forget what they call those.
porn movies.
There's like a term for them. There you go. No, it's like usually it's good stuff. It's just like they make them and they go. I was listening to a podcast with some guy who was, he had a movie, I think it was called Animal Crackers, and he'd been working on it forever. It was just like the hoops and shit he had to jump through to get it distributed, and just the hearing the story, just years and years of this garbage he had to go through. It was crazy. And how much money he just put into it to fund it himself, him and just him and his family. It was a crazy story, but it's like it just reminds me of that, like other movies where people go, hey, we got this movie, they kind of shoot it, and it's like no one wants to pick it up for distribution, so it just kind of sits there.
I think it's just that like people react to similar games coming out and kind of like life cycles in the same way, so sometimes similar outside circumstances can spark like the same idea in two people. So the art design for Breath of the Wild and the Greek game, shit, I already can't remember the name, that's bad. Gods and Monsters. Yes?
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe something similar sparked the art idea for both of them, and just Breath of the Wild was able to pump it out faster. Like, it it doesn't mean that one was copying the other, but yeah. It's... Right.
Yeah.
Again, it's just that perception, even if it's not true, and a lot of people can know it's not true, it's just, it's always kind of a bummer to have that. It's like when I'm going to do something, and then someone asks me to do that thing I'm going to do right before I do it, then I'm like, I get so mad, because I'm like, I was going to do that. Anyways.
It makes it seem like you're only doing it because they asked you.
Right. I fucking hate that.
Yep. Now I'm not going
to
do it.
It's like, I was going to do that, and now I'm so annoyed that you asked me to do it because I was going to do this thing. But yeah, I thought it was a decent show overall. Nothing, felt like there was nothing too crazy this year. I know everybody loved Keanu and the Ghostwire presenter, but I feel like game-wise, yeah, it was good. Like I said, a lot of release dates, remastered, but nothing too nuts. I saw that Phil Spencer said he missed Sony not being there, and Activision.
Which, I mean, makes sense. It's just not the same.
Yeah, but at least Square Enix conference is like definitely like a much bigger show than just the 30-minute reel of the same Kingdom Hearts trailer with no audio or something. You know, that was so weird when they did their Kingdom Hearts DLC and it was like no VO. I'm like, okay, I guess if you have no VO because you haven't recorded it yet, then you just put subtitles. But it was still kind of weird because it just reminded me of last year or the previous times with all the Kingdom Hearts no audio trailers and just music. Like, what?
It was a bit strange.
Yeah. But yeah, it was fun. Like I said, I love getting release dates, new trailers for stuff. Like even Doom Eternal, it's like I'm already excited. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna play Doom Eternal when it comes out. But it's just, I like those release dates. I'm just glad we got Sony. I feel like usually we don't get a whole lot, or it's like that ambiguous Q4 or summer 2020.
Yeah, there's usually like one game in a conference that actually has a solid release date, and I feel like this year was the year of release dates, and this bitch loves release dates.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's basically it for the giant recap of E3. I know one of the big things was the, well, at least for people who were there and fans of the game, not necessarily for everybody else when I listen to their podcast, because they have no idea what's going on. But the trailer for Shadowbringers that they showed for 14 really had a lot of people going crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to need some explanation on why that's a big deal.
Yoshida ran off that stage because he knew he just brought our world crumbling down around us, and he didn't want to.
I don't even understand why. I don't get why it's a big deal.
Because the implication is that the Warrior of Light, your player character, has been tempered by a primal this entire time.
But why does that matter? Like, I thought that, okay,
because
so here's...
Because he's been fighting primals because it's bad.
Outside perspective. I thought that, like, the Warrior of Light, given that he's called the Warrior of Light, was already known to be some sort of, like, holy god figure thing.
No, it was... Well, it's been kind of teased and like hinted at in the story before. And this is what was really fun about Twitter that day, is like everybody, I posted that picture of what's his face from Always Sunny with all the like stuff on the wall and the little red lines. That was basically Twitter all day. Like everybody was connecting the dots and everything because all these little hints and things that are around. But the whole premise is that like you've been blessed by the goddess, quote unquote, with this power to fight and keep balance in the world. But the implication is now that we've gone through like the Warrior of Darkness story and all that, and now we're becoming the Warrior of Darkness and all that, is like we are actually doing the same thing that the people we've been fighting against have been doing and tipping the scales in the wrong direction, and our whole lives are a lie and we're just terrible people now. And
so you've lived long enough to become the enemy.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what you're saying here.
You're the dying hero, really.
They are implying that there are no actual gods and goddesses or like any kind of thing. It's all just primals. And we have been tempered by the primal of light or whatever.
You know that means you're going to have to fight her eventually, right?
Oh, we're ready for it. I'm going to punch Crystal Mom in the face.
Yeah, because I always thought it was interesting that, because isn't one of the early scenes, like when you're floating in front of the crystal, like every time you kill a primal, like you collect their crystal, don't you bring it to her? Like, it's always like, oh, here's the big white crystal and then all the Ifrit crystal and this crystal. It's like, well, it's just pieces of you. Is that what this is?
Yeah. So now people are saying that you're actually like collecting the essence of all of the primals. So you're like the ultimate tempered being or whatever. And now that there was a line from Ifrit, I don't know if he repeated it in the remake, but in 1.0 he talks about how he's trying to temper you and temper your mind, but he says you've already been claimed by another, and everybody's losing their goddamn minds over it now. Like, oh shit, we've been tempered the whole time.
The Askians, that's the evil, yeah, dark people, right?
Yeah, so they're now, everybody's assuming they are tempered by Zodiark to fight Heidelin.
Do you find, like, are they way more involved in, I'm trying, when did I stop? I stopped after, I didn't finish Heaven's Ward. So, like, after Heaven's Ward and everything else that comes after, like, are they way more involved in the storyline?
Oh, yeah. They are the main bad guys of this game.
Okay. That's, I figured, it seemed like they weren't always there. Like, in Heaven's Ward, like, they were always, like, you know, worm tongue whispering in the ear of the king of that region, but it felt like I wanted to see like more, like, is there more of them, you know, what's going on, yada yada. It never seemed like there was enough.
Yeah, they're still doing their, you know, manipulative shit or whatever, but I think it's Elidibus, one, maybe Elidibus and one other one, they're actively like taking a part in the story now. They're not like, they have a different form because in order to further their agenda they needed to take the form of somebody else. So they have another character's like appearance, but they're like actively in the story now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was always something I was like, I wanted to see more of when I was playing, but it never seemed to have happened quick enough. Cause you're dealing with some, cause it was like it's essentially the arc that would link sequels if it was a movie or a TV show, where like you're dealing with the primary arc, which is like your local conflict. And there's like in the back, there's this other thing. And then it's like, oh, that's the button at the end of the movie. It's, you know, you see more of the Askians or whatever. They're doing whatever. And then next sequel comes out and they're still there.
Oh, yeah. They are the Thanos, basically. Yeah. That's okay. They're the Thanos arc.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks, I'm really curious to see, you know, how everybody likes it once it comes out. You have to tell us like a... This is the problem, though, I have with the extensions. Like, I know they always do, here's the big arc on release, but then they have, like, the 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. I feel always, like, I was like, man, I kind of, like, I that wait for, like, more content would always kind of drive me nuts. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it drives the community nuts, too. You should see the community during the lulls.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, so I saw you were playing, well, Izzy's got his mic muted, but Izzy's playing Spider-Man since he picked up because it was on sale.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying it?
I've loved it so far, with the exception of that weird glitch I had at the very start of the game. It's been awesome.
Mm-hmm. You pretty far? It sounds like you're at least relatively far because you're like, oh, the twist.
Well, it wasn't like an actual story twist. So I'm like 75% through the game according to the percentage tracker. Mm-hmm. The twist thing I was talking about wasn't actually a story twist. It was just like a really good cinematic moment where it went from lighthearted to like serious.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they handled it, they just handled it very well.
I mean, we could spoil it, so you could talk about whatever is here. I know. So spoilers for Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. So it was when Jefferson Davis is killed, mm-hmm. which I saw coming from a mile away. But just the way they handled it in the game was really good because they built him up earlier as just like good guy cop. Of course, you're instantly assuming that he's Miles Morales' dad, which he ends up being. Then he gets killed off, and Parker becomes like kind of a mentor figure to Miles Morales, and the way they've handled that relationship throughout the game has just been very impressive so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love Miles Morales. I didn't know how they would introduce him in this game. I knew he was in it, but I thought that it would be a very awkward introduction, and instead they've woven him in very well as kind of like Peter Parker wanting to help this kid. And it makes sense why he's trying to become a superhero himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I've really liked the game. I told you. So the issue I was having is at the very beginning of the game, and I don't know what actually caused it. You know how in some games you can get in like a death cycle where you die right, or like a game autosaves right at the wrong moment, and then when it pulls you out of the autosave, like something happens that kills you repeatedly?
Yeah.
So I basically had that happen with one of the larger brute enemies charging at me at the very start of the game, the tutorial. So like the tutorial boss charging at me. And it was Fisk, it kept instant killing me, but before I got control of Spider-Man, so like I couldn't move out of the way. Oops. The game would load into it and it'd be like this slow motion thing of him charging at me, and I'd have zero control over Spider-Man. And I'd get control like a millisecond before he made impact, so I could then start dodging out of the way, and he'd still run into me and clip the animation and kill me. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck was causing it. So I reloaded last checkpoint and everything, and they were all right there. So I uninstalled the game, reinstalled it, played through that section again, and it was perfectly fine. So I think I just got into a very unfortunate, like, timing death loop thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what actually caused it, but when I reinstalled the game, I had other issues before that with like QuickTime events not triggering. Like I'd hit the button and I'd mash the button and it wouldn't seem to register. That after reinstalling, I haven't had any of those issues at all. So I think I was just unlucky.
That's good. At least you got it taken care of. So
yeah. But yeah, since then, I mean, I haven't had any problems. I've loved the game. That swinging through the city is so fucking fun. Like, I know people commented on how much, like, how enjoyable it was just to swing through the city and cruise around, but it really just is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different mode of traversal than what you're used to with either flying or, like, the infamous parkour stuff. That this just works so well. So I've loved it.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. What are you, Sai, you've been playing? What have you been playing recently?
I actually picked up Fantasy Life for 3DS, finally, and that has been my life since I picked it up.
I saw, that's right, because it's Michael playing Dark Souls, so.
Yeah, he played Dark Souls, he played it and beat it, and then he started New Game Plus to try out a different build, and did you beat New Game Plus?
No,
he got bored. So he didn't finish that, but he's playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey now.
Hey, he's just like you.
I know, right?
So he's playing... That's right, because he started doing some of the side quests for Assassin's Creed, the Tales of Greece.
Yeah, he's doing the Tales of Greece and figured... Because we haven't bought the DLC packs or anything like that, but I figure if we get back into it and start playing it more, we get through the free stuff and want to do more, then we'll get the DLC. But he's just been playing that, and I've been playing Fantasy Life, and I really need to play 14 and get ready for Shadowbringers because it's very freaking soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I've been playing Assassin's Creed as well. Just did the first episode of the first arc, and then I stopped, and now I'm just doing basically all the Tales from Greece because there were so many of them. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because they're all pretty, some of them are pretty meaty. Like, they have multiple segments to them.
Yeah.
You know, because all, like, mini stories. I think they're bigger than most, they're bigger than any of the regular side quests that are in the game. And they're as long as some of the main quests you can do. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Definitely having fun being back in that game and just running around. And I like that you can transmogrify all your gear, which, I mean, I like the gear I have anyways currently right now, and it, all the stats on them are great, so I like them anyways. But and the extra tier 6 and higher stats that you can get, so pretty good stuff. Although I saw they let you buy, like, different, I don't know when they got patched in, but how you can have different loadouts. So I have, like, my main loadout, I built a assassination loadout. But then if I wanted to unlock the third one, it cost me like 30,000 drachmi or whatever. And I didn't have that much drachmi because once I went into the game, I was like, oh, I have a bunch of resources in drachmi. I'm just going to upgrade all the stuff I didn't do. Like, oh, more stuff in my ship. And, also I'm out of money. And I'm like, I can't buy a third gear set.
Oops.
And of course, they don't let you change it in the middle of combat. So it's kind of like you got to be like, okay, I can definitely do this whole section with the archer. So I'm just going to use my archer set. And then, I just need to assassinate this elite guy, so I'm gonna put on my assassination gear and just take him out really quick and get the fuck out. I'm looking forward to playing more of the actual story for Legacy of the First Blade. But a lot of fun being in that world. Man, I still just love the draw distance. Like, playing that game just makes me, it's like, it's so good.
I was just gonna comment, like, I forgot how freaking beautiful this game is.
Yeah. And the freaking HDR, because I have the Hades horse. I think when they give you, like, the free Helix, I'm like, I'll just get the horse, the Hades one. Or maybe he was part of a quest. I can't remember. But I have him, so it's like a dark area, you know, and the HDR is great. You got the moon. And then all of a sudden, a horse comes out of nowhere, and it's just, like, super bright. Like, the nits, they're so high. Bright-ass horse. I'm like, why is no one freaking out? But throw someone on the back when they're like, am I gonna burn in this thing? But yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Definitely enjoy playing it. Did I start something else? No, I didn't. I downloaded they announced at E3, but there is a supplemental DLC for Borderlands 2 that bridges Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3. Reminds me a lot of, they did for, the only game I can think of that ever did this was Left 4 Dead, where before Left 4 Dead 2 came out, they had a special mission come out that you could play on either the first or the second, which I thought was really cool. And I wish more games would do that, like have some sort of tie-in DLC that would kind of, Ghost Recon did that recently. That was weird. Your mic pulled out. Like, I heard myself through your headset.
My mic just, like, exploded in my ears. So I ripped it off my head, and in the process of ripping it off my head, also unplugged
it. Yeah, it looped it back in into the thing. I was like, why did I hear myself a third time?
It was bad. Like, something weird happened, and it just... My life is tough. Don't judge me.
But, haunted.
Yeah. But yeah, Ghost Recon did that, where they had the DLC, the free DLC mission that basically kind of set up... It wasn't that big. Like, the Borderlands DLC is like 10 hours. And the Left 4 Dead DLC was pretty big too, but the Ghost Recon wasn't that big. It was just like a small mission, kind of introduce the character, kind of set them up, and now you're trying to figure out what happened between the time gap between Ghost Recon Wildlands and Ghost Recon Breakpoint. But I like that idea of just having these bridging pieces of DLC. I think it's really cool. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it. Don't know when I'll get to it. But I accidentally launched, because of course I, when you install it, it bumps it up to like front of your list. So I've been playing. I have a folder that has like more active games, like Divinity, Battlefield 5, Tetris Effect, Fortnite, and all these other games I've been playing, Fallout 76, and they're all in like a folder. And then I had Assassin's Creed, Apex, and then Borderlands. And I was playing Apex, and they were having server issues the other night. And they're doing this, I'll get into that later. And then I was like, oh, well, since I can't, I always got sidetracked, derailed myself from my own story. But I was going to play, I was like, oh, Apex servers are kind of down. I guess I'll go play Assassin's Creed. And the main menu kind of lagged for a moment. So when I hit like right, I guess I double hit right. And then I hit X, it was on Borderlands. And then Borderlands launches. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. And of course, you can't quit an application until it loads up, at least most of the way. So I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to see how they handle the, you know, make a level 30 character. I'm like, because I want to see if you could do like custom skills, like do everything in the menu, like how's it work? So it loads up, gets the main menu, and then I'm like, all right, Google, how do I do a level 30 character? And someone's like, oh, just start a new game. So I hit, okay, new game, and I thought it'd be like, okay, new game, maybe it'll be like choose level 30 character. No, it just launches the game. And then now I'm stuck in an unskippable cutscene that I have to wait through. And I'm like, oh my God. It's like, it's two cutscenes too. It's the recap of Borderlands 1 from the bus driver, Marcus. And then it's the intro cutscene for Borderlands 2. And I'm like, and then even when I got into it, it just says you choose a character and then you wake up in the snow with Claptrap. And so I just quit out to the menu. And then it turns out like on the very bottom of the screen, like the main menu of Borderlands is like very busy. A lot of color icons, you know, new game, network connectivity, all this stuff, you know, backgrounds. Yeah. And then in the very bottom, where if I was to sit back in my couch a little more slumped, like my second monitor would kind of block that part of the TV, but like at the very bottom it says triangle and it says create a new character. And so you go there and then it has like, you can create a character for the main menu and then it has the option to create the level 30 character, which I didn't click on, but I saw it there. Because I didn't want to launch, because it launches you straight into the DLC if you do that option, which is nice. So yes, at least I know for the future. But it was like, yeah, I was like, oh man, a cutscene I can't skip. I was so annoyed.
20-minute detour.
Oh God, it's like, yeah, I was like, why? But yeah, I'll play it at some point. That should be fun. But yeah, other than that, just Assassin's Creed Apex. Apex has an event that's going on. It's really cool. It's going to end this week where they did like this elite queue where if you get top five in a round, the playlist for the elite queue pops up and you can load into it. And only people who've ever gotten top five can play that mode. And then every consecutive time you get top five, it adds onto this badge you can get where like, so you can show it off. I saw people like a squad team where it was like two of them had 28 consecutive top five games, and then one guy had 29, and they were the Apex Legends. I'm like, damn, son, like it's crazy. But then I found out like after I got like I had it, if you get one and then you die, it's like, yeah, you lose it. But then I was on a streak and I had three. I'm like, oh nice, cause I didn't have freaking two 10-year-olds on my team. I'm like, why are you queuing up in this mode? You're not elite. Stop it. But and so I'd always end up dying, or we'd end up dying because they just get taken out. But then I had a game where it was like, it was me, two of the guys, and we're doing fine. And then all of a sudden, one guy DCs. And then me and the guy get ambushed, and we die. And the game's like, oh, we saw one of your teammates disconnected, so that loss won't count and break your streak. I'm like, that's really cool. So that's like this kind of DC forgiveness. I'm assuming if we got like super far in the match, it wouldn't have worked. But we died fairly close to after the character DC'd, so it's probably like a window of opportunity. But then I found out that also if you play, then I played again, and our team lost pretty early on. And then it gives us we saw you, you lost, but you know what? If you can get, yeah, like you won't lose it, but if you can get top five in any mode again, you can keep your current position. I was like, so it's got like this weird accident forgiveness kind of component to it as well. So I'm like, I wonder how many people like get these high levels where like they play a game, they get top five, they get a streak going, then they don't in one, then they do in the next one, then they don't, and they do, and they just keep bouncing back and forth to where it's not technically consecutively getting top five. I was like, that kind of bugged me. But they did do this thing where, so like most battle royales, when the first circle closes, it's like a one HP tick. So if you get stuck in the blue or the orange, if you're playing Apex, and you're just taking damage, it's not that much. You can keep looting, and you can kind of make it out safely. But yeah, in this one, it was like people, they found people were camping in the circle, And so they decided to up the damage that the circles do in each phase. And it's just like, when that first circle closes, it's you just see everybody die to the storm. It's like, my God, just so many people that were taking too long. It was really funny. But but yeah, then they patched it to be a little less damaging, but still not allowing people to camp in the orange. But yeah. But yeah, anyways, hey, quit. No. You gotta be quiet. Don't do that. No, don't do that. No. He's trying to keep quit tapping the mic. It's annoying. Don't do that. Hey, stop it.
Wow, I was doing that with my cat earlier.
I was just thinking the same thing. Tiny children are like cats.
In a minute, I'm almost done. But anyways.
He's restless.
Tiny children are like naps. Or cats.
Okay, go potty then. You go potty, and then when you're done. Maybe you can have fruit snacks. Okay.
Maybe. But,
yeah. I told him if he was left me alone, he could have some fruit snacks. And he was good. He stayed in the room for the most part. But it has been a while now. So, although the first time he came out, like, it was only like 15 minutes. I'm like, can I have fruit snacks now? I'm like, I'm not done. It's only 15 minutes. Come on, time, man. You got to understand it. But yeah. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up. I mean, went on for an hour. We got to cover all the highlights from E3. We can always go back if there's any new info or stuff next time. But yeah, that'll do it for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
We'll see you all next time.
Bye. Later.